The filmmaker Jean Vigo made only a very few films, just under 3 hours worth total. He lived only to age 29. His films were misunderstood and maligned when he made them in the 1930s. But, and this is the amazing part, the films are revered and cherished, analyzed, widely taught, and as influential as any movies ever. The writer Luc Sant says Vigo had a kind of instant grasp of the medium from the moment he started making films, combining sharp political satire with a poetic sensibility.
He's spitting ideas out right and left and is completely unafraid to mix together romance and tragedy and absurdity and comedy.
That was it, the way the young Jean Vigo ignored convention, the way he casually mixed genres and ideas. His scathing look at class differences on the French Riviera, apropos de Nice, combined documentary footage with fantastic staged scenes. It's a style that seems very familiar to us now. Then it was entirely uncommon to blur those lines, not to mention the film's devastating look at the strutting, lounging bourgeoisie. Vigo's life story is almost unbelievably dramatic. He was born in 1905, the son of Emily Clairaut and her husband, a noted militant anarchist who was always on the run. When Jean was 12, his father was killed in prison after taking a controversial stand as a pacifist during World War I. After that, the younger Vigo spent years in a dreary boarding school. There's more. He developed tuberculosis at 21 and suffered with it until his death at 29. His salvation was his love of movies, and his one bit of great luck was marrying a woman whose father could afford to buy him a movie camera. In Zero for Conduct from 1933, Vigo drew on his harrowing boarding school years. The film gives us life among schoolboys, complete with adults as autocratic buffoons and children as bold rebels. It outraged the establishment.
You know, to make a movie that's from the point of view of children and takes them seriously.
That in itself was a radical act. But once again, the mix. Zéro de Conduite, Zero for Conduct, was bursting with fantasy and fun. But at the same time, it was so convincingly anti-authoritarian, it was banned from public exhibition by French civic leaders until much later. Let Alone, from 1934, was less inflammatory, but it was outrageous enough in its own way. It tells the story of a husband and wife who begin their married life on a canal barge, parting and reuniting in scenes of complete contrast. It had a brief and rather dismal run in its first commercial release.
People just didn't understand. They couldn't connect. The shifts in register were too extreme for them. La Talente first goes toward the erotic and then immediately goes to the comic, and then there's the absurd. Audience's heads must have been spinning.
Ahead of his time, you'd have to say, because years later, after World War II, the emerging generation of young filmgoers and filmmakers instantly connected with the spirit and youthful spontaneity of Vigo's work.
And people like the young Truffaut first saw it, for example.
And all the Vigo films caught on, finally, roughly 15 years after the fact, and more than a decade after his death. In a more typical career, these few films would have been early works, but they're Jean Vigo's only works, so they've come to represent this remarkable moment in film history.
You know, long before the Beatles or etc., Jean Vigo was incarnating the spirit of youth in the works that he made. His movies are the most eternally youthful body of work in the cinema, I think.
What a story, told in the brief and complete works of a young man. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.